This is the Relevant Life Church podcast, where we are about connecting with God, relating to people, and reaching our world. Tune in as our church goes through this week's teaching in God's Word.
Today we have amazing guests, amazing communicators. I'm excited to hear their testimony once again. This is the first time that I have heard their entire testimony, and you will be sitting on the edge of your seat. It's really, really good. They're great communicators. You're going to be challenged. Joe and Emily Knapp have left a ministry position, left a nice jobs and all those sorts of things, and they're stepping out on an adventure to Ecuador. Is this the same place you went? It was the same city, yeah. So they're heading off to Ecuador, and they're going to tell you a little bit more about themselves and what's happening. And would you just welcome Joe and Emily as they come?
Hey, thank you guys so much for having us. I'm going to apologize in advance to the tech team because we're going to go off notes here and just do something a little different. So sorry, we're going to jump all over the place. But, as we were worshiping, I felt like the Lord said, don't do what you prepared and do something else. And as a pastor, pastor's like on the edge of a seat. What? It'll be fine. if we could, can you put the words to that song that we sang, that last song? I took a picture because I wanted to be able to remember. Can you just put that back up there? The one that said, holy all the earth singing, holy all the angels cry. Yes, perfect. So if you've got your Bibles and you want to go to Revelation 5, I'm going to read this. We're skipping introductions. I'm sorry. The Holy Spirit was just moving as we were worshiping. You guys have an amazing, amazing worship team, by the way. I told Pastor Kevin after the first service, I was like, is that every week? He said, yeah. He said, yeah, we have a really good worship team. I want to tell you, as people that have been in like 80 churches in the last year, yeah, you guys are top notch. I mean, I think that's probably one of the best worship experiences we've had in a long, long time. So don't take for granted what you have. This is an amazing worship ministry. But anyway, as we were worshiping, that song specifically, all the earth singing, holy, all the angels cry, holy, Jesus, you alone. And then go to the next slide. Worthy, all creation sings, worthy, all the heavens exalt thee, Jesus, you alone. And as you said, you know, you often picture yourself in heaven singing that song. So Revelation 5, this is, if you're not familiar with the book of Revelation, this is the Apostle John, the revelator, right? He gets this vision of heaven. And in Revelation 5, he sees this really interesting thing, and it says this, then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and with on the back and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or even look into it. So John sees this and he's like, this is really important. It needs to be opened and nobody can do it. And then one of the elders said to me, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. Yeah, Jesus, you alone, right? He is worthy. So then it goes on, and between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, and they began to sing a new song. Yeah. We're going to talk this morning about new songs. But this is what they sang. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God. And look at this. You ransomed people for God from every tribe, language, and people, and nation. You've made them a kingdom of priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders' voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. That's the Bible language for really, really big. Lots and lots of people. And they said with a loud voice, again singing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying to him who sits on the throne, And to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Amen. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. Yeah. This is why we do missions. Yeah. This is why we walk away from careers. This is why we walk away from a ministry in Sandy and take our kids to another nation, because Jesus is worthy. Amen. You know, just like we sang this morning, worthy. All creation sings worthy. All the heavens exalt thee. And here's the truth that's contained in this scripture that just hit me as we were worshiping this morning. There is a choir. I like to think of it as this choir in heaven, like Pastor Trent said when we were leading worship. We're going to sing these songs in heaven.
Yeah.
And there is this choir that God has already purchased. It says, by your blood, you've purchased a people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, yeah, every people group on the earth. There is a place in this choir for them. Yeah. But the truth is, the stark reality of our world is there are roughly 16,000 people groups in the world. 7,000 of them have never heard the name of Jesus. So even if it's just one person from each of those people groups, which we know it's not just one, but even if it was just one, there are 7,000 parts of this heavenly choir, 7,000 parts of this heavenly harmony that aren't being represented yet because they haven't heard the name. They don't know. And the truth is, Jesus is worthy,
amen,
of their worship. He's worthy of complete worship from humanity because he purchased us.
Yeah. Yeah. And the incredible thing is that thus, we who know the Lord, we who've experienced him and know him, we have a song, right? We have a song. Many of us already sing it. You sing it loud, or you may sing it quiet, but you've sung it in some way. And we have this scripture that we love, and I want to use this to tell our story. Because Psalm 40 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined and he heard my cry. Now listen to this, because this is our story. And we're going to share it in a minute, but I want you to understand it in the context of Psalm 40. He drew me up out of a pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. Listen to this line, okay? Verse 3, he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God that many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. This psalm begins with somebody who is in a pit of destruction. And yet the promise of this psalm is that that person who is drawn out of a pit of destruction, because of that person, many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. So I want to tell you about our pit of destruction, because both Joe and I had our own pits. They're very different in the beginning, but I want you to see what God did, because it's incredible and because he gave us a song. And I want you to be encouraged and inspired, and I want you to know that you have a song and you have something incredible that you need to sing so that that heavenly choir in the end can be complete, right? So I grew up as a pastor's daughter. I grew up in the church. I grew up being there every time the doors were open. I grew up learning all the Bible verses and teaching the children's church when I was, I don't know, probably still in it, just to be honest. But, you know, I grew up knowing all about Jesus. But somehow in the midst of that, I missed something really important, because I knew all about Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. So when I got into my late high school years and my early college years, the pull of the world began to be really intense. I loved having friends. I loved people approving of me. And my knowledge about God was not enough at that point to tether me to God or to morality, to be honest. So I began to pursue destructive relationships. I began to get into relationships with people that led me into places of compromise that I had never intended at the beginning, right? So I began to experiment with drugs and experiment with alcohol. And I was a party girl, and I began to just be in all kinds of environments that led me deeper and deeper and deeper into what Psalm 40 calls as a pit, right? And you know that if you walk down that road, it continues to suck you in. It continues to suck you in because it has promises. It has promises that it's going to fulfill you. And then it's going to be everything you wanted. And then it's going to give you, you know, satisfaction. And one of the songs we even sang this morning was, I looked for love in all the world. but it doesn't satisfy you because you're made for Jesus. And so as I was in that pit of destruction, I was denying that fact that I was made for Jesus. So instead, I was looking for all the other ways to figure out what I was for, what I was made for, what would bring purpose to my life. So fast forward to where I'm 22 years old. I have gotten in deep. Okay, this pit is deep and it's black and it's ugly. And I was numb. I honestly didn't care emotionally. It was gross. But God knew me and he saw me there. And it's important that we tell this story and we sing this song because we're missionaries, which is crazy. But, you know, you guys may look at us and think, well, you know, they probably have just been holy their whole lives and done all kinds of amazing things. But because we sing this song and we say that we were in a pit of destruction, then we can say that nothing disqualifies you from serving Jesus. Nothing disqualifies you, and nothing means that God's done with you, because he wasn't done with me. So at 22 years old, I'm a party girl who wants nothing to do with Jesus, and I met this guy, and he was really, really cute, and he was a mess just like me, but God had a plan in our mess. Yep. We were train wrecks, okay? I'm just going to be real here. We're going to train wrecks. But I'm going to let him kind of fill in the other part of this because there's more song to the story.
Yeah. Well, our backgrounds are really different. You know, Emily grew up in the church, knew all about Jesus. I did not grow up in the church. I had a great family, great parents. They loved my brother and I well, provided for us, encouraged us in our talents and giftings. But no church. We weren't allowed to go to church. It was discouraged. Yeah, long story. But because of that, my guide to, you know, life was what I saw the world doing. So just like Emily, when I got into high school, started facing some of those maybe more adult decisions, if you want to call them that, I made really bad choices. And I found myself experimenting with drugs, experimenting with alcohol, relationships with girls, just going down these paths that I thought would bring fulfillment. But they don't. You know, I love Psalm 40 when it says, the miry bog. He drew me up from the pit of destruction out of the miry bog. You know, in Oregon, we have really good, that Oregon clay mud that gets stuck to your boots. I grew up in Eastern Oregon, so I used to hunt a lot as a kid. And I hated that time of year when that clay would get a frost on it, and then it would thaw when you're out hunting. And you're walking in your boots pretty soon. They weigh like 90 pounds a piece. And you're like, oh. But you're like, well, just over the hill, we're going to find a flock of birds or whatever, that deer or whatever we're looking for, you know. And that's the lie that sin plays with us. It's this enticement. Just keep going. And you're going to find fulfillment. You're going to find something. But all the while, we're just getting weighed down and going, oh, it's just getting so hard. I just want to give up.
Yeah.
But God draws us up from that pit, you know. Yeah. So when Emily and I met, we were both pretty deep in despair. I was into drugs and alcohol and chasing the party lifestyle. We had a mutual friend that was like, hey, I know this girl, she's crazy. You should go meet her. Okay, yeah, sounds good, you know? So we did. So like Emily said, we stand before you today, commissioned missionaries with Assemblies of God World Missions, and that sounds all impressive and whatnot. But we were just people lost in our sin, and God met us there.
Yeah.
He met us there. And the way that happened was, Emily, we started dating. The first 4 or 5 weeks was pretty crazy. And then one day she just kind of on a whim said, do you want to go ride snowmobiles at my parents' house? And I'm like, yeah, that sounds awesome. I've never ridden a snowmobile before. It's really cool if you've never done it. It's really fun. They go really fast. But let's do it. Let's go up for this trip, right? So we drive. For me, it was 13 hours to get to their house. I picked Emily up halfway there. And about an hour away from their house, she says, oh, by the way, my dad's a pastor, and my parents are really religious, so it's going to be fine. Just don't talk about Jesus and don't cuss, and it's going to be a good weekend. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Thanks for the heads up, you know. So we got there. We rode snowmobiles. We got to their cabin, and I didn't know what to talk about. We're going to be here for 3 days. There's like Bibles all over the place and pictures of, you know, signs about Jesus all over the walls. And I'm like, what? I can't say, what do you do for work? Which would be my go-to, like, you know, easy guy conversation, because not trying to talk about that. So anyway, I just got frustrated. I'm like, I don't know what to do. So I just said, so what's the deal with Jesus? And man, her parents, they live very remote, and they just jumped on that opportunity. And for 3 days, they told me all about Jesus. Yeah, it was awesome.
And he was stuck because he couldn't take those snowmobiles.
I couldn't get away. So here's the thing. I was 24 years old. I lived in Oregon all my life. I've lived in almost every area of Oregon, too, at that point. 24 years old, grew up in this state. I'd heard little bits and pieces of Jesus as a kid, but I had never, especially as an adult, I had never heard the gospel. I didn't understand who Jesus was. So I would have called myself an atheist at that point. I would have dismissed Christianity as a crutch that people just need to get through life. And a lot of times I think we as the church, we look at people in our world and go, oh, they're resistant to the gospel. It's not that they're resistant. They just don't know the truth.
Yeah.
Right? They've built this image of who they think Jesus is and what they think Christianity looks like, but they just don't know. So if you would have met me 15 years ago, you would have said, that guy's a jerk. He thinks Christians are dumb. How are we going to witness to him? I just didn't know. So as we walk around this world, I just want to encourage you, man. There are people they're just one decision away from transformation.
Yeah. Good.
And they just need to know. They just need to know the truth of who Jesus is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, we meet her parents. They tell me about Jesus. We come home from that trip. I dropped Emily back off, and she lived in Boise at the time. I lived in Eugene, so I dropped her off in Boise. And I'm driving home just going, man, that was crazy. Could there really be a God? Could there really be this Jesus? Like, he's nothing like I thought, you know? And as I was coming over Santa Ana Pass, I was all by myself in my car, dark night, the stars were out, and just wrestling with these questions. And I finally just got to a point of frustration and said, God, I said this out loud, which I don't normally talk to myself, but I just said out loud, God, if you're real, show me and I'll follow you, but I'm not going to spend my life chasing a lie. And as I said those words, he showed up in that car, and I began shaking, holding onto the steering wheel, going like, man, I might need to pull over. And then tears are pouring out of my eyes and dripping off my face. The hair on my arms and my neck stood up. I had goosebumps like all over my body and just felt this power coursing through me. And I didn't have the Christian words to ascribe to this experience, right? I just knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that, like the psalm says, I cried out, and God inclined his ear to me and heard my cry. And in that moment, he drew me up from that pit of destruction. Mm-hmm. And all that weight that was stuck to my boots, all of that sin and death and all those things that were holding me down, he just in a moment took it away.
Yeah.
And I went, wow. Yeah. So as soon as I got back to a place where my phone worked, I called Emily, and I'm all excited, right? And I go, I don't know what just happened. I don't know how to describe this, but there's a God. He's real. And we have to figure this thing out.
It was a crazy phone call, because that's not the phone call you've ever expect. Is it, you know, somebody that you're dating all of a sudden calls you and says, there's a God, everything changes. You're like, what does that even mean? So it was a crazy phone call, but honestly, the crazy part was what happened next, because he goes back to Eugene and we were video chatting all the time. But at that point, like, he has a regular drug habit and he's drinking all the time. That stopped. He's dumping his drugs out. He's dumping his alcohol down the toilet. He is changing. I'd never seen that before. I'd been in the church all my life, but I'd never seen anyone transformed like that. I'd never seen anybody who wasn't, you know, he didn't go into a church and they told him, okay, now to be a Christian, you need to stop doing these things and you need to start doing these things. There's nobody coaching him. I mean, at this point, even he wasn't even going to church. I remember saying to him, I don't really want you to go to church because I don't want them to mess it up. But like, that's how much I believed in the church. And now since then, God has changed my heart. But at that point, I didn't want it fake, and I'd never seen anyone so real. I'd never seen anything happen so real. So at this point in him, he is just changing from the inside out. He is reading so much of the Bible. Nobody told him to read like little tiny bits at a time. So he's just reading books and books and books. And he's asking me all these questions. And, you know, I had had people who'd poured into me as a child. I had had Sunday school teachers, and I'd read and I'd listened to my dad preach. And I'd had all these things, you know. If you have kids that you're pouring into, if you have people who you've spent years pouring into, and they may look like they're not listening. It may look like there's no fruit in that right now. I want to tell you to keep going. I want to tell you to keep praying. Keep believing that those seeds that were sown are going to flourish, that they're going to come out, because that was my story. I didn't know they were there, but as he begins to ask me questions, it was as if God was taking that information and that truth out of me, and he's holding it up in front of me, and he's saying, Emily, what do you believe? Are you going to believe these things that you've been taught all these years? And it was as if I got to see it for the first time. I got to see it and consider as an adult, is this truth? And as I watched him change, I realized that that's what I had been craving. That's what I had wanted. I had wanted a relationship. I had wanted real transformation and truth. And I got to see it firsthand as he changed in front of me. But then God gave me a chance. As a prodigal, he gave me a chance to come back. And he said, I've been waiting for you. And I sought you, and I know you're coming back. So keep praying for your prodigals, because God has not forgotten them.
Yeah, the Lord knows. I mean, so that, like we said, nothing that you've done, nothing that we've done, nothing that anyone has done disqualifies us from receiving the love of God, like Pastor was talking about, this God of love. His name is synonymous with love. If we simply confess him as Lord and repent, humble ourselves. I think even earlier in the service, somebody talked about humbling yourself, right? We say, God, I have made a mess. I recognize that I'm stuck in this pit, and I can't get out. My boots are just weighed down. When we cry out to him, he is faithful and capable and able to lift us out. First John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. So that's what God did. I mean, he took two just complete train wreck messes of people and cleaned us up. Picked us up, set us on a different track, and said, okay, you were going that way. We're going to go this way now. And it's been a crazy journey. But this is the truth, that God made us, not just us, he made all of us to be in relationship with him. This is why we exist. So the sin and the death and the things of this world that we experience and walk in, that is not what we were made for. We were made for life and freedom and peace and joy and love. And when we surrender ourselves to Jesus and say yes to him, that's what he gives us. Yeah. So we met the Lord, we got saved, we got plugged into a church. Yeah. And you know, this slide says saying yes to joy, because what we were going to tell you about was these little steps of yes. And we can still tell you that. Yeah. So go ahead.
So, you know, we talked before in Psalm 40 about that song, right? So here we are telling you this story about how he drew us up out of the pit of destruction, right? But the crazy part about the next verse is that he puts a new song in your mouth. Because when God does something like that in you, you've got to speak it out. You've got to tell it. You've got to sing it. And a lot of times that begins in the local church. So we got plugged in, baby Christians. We're trying to figure out, like, what can we even give? So we just gave, you know, little things, helping out in children's church or nursery or different things like that. And then Joe's really good with computers. He just stands next to them and do whatever he wants. It's really annoying when it will not work for me. And then he just comes over to look at it and it behaves. But everybody needs those people in the church too, right? You need somebody who's going to fix that last minute microphone that won't work, or, you know. So he began to give and to serve. And as we got more and more into service, we realized that this is pretty neat. Being around other Christians and being involved in service, like, God made us for this. So we begin to give of the things that we have, and the Lord begins to give us joy and fill us with the Holy Spirit as we continue to do what he made us for. So we're singing this song that he has given us. And at first, the song is pretty comfortable. It does not stay comfortable. It begins to push you outside of what you thought you could do. It begins to push you out of your comfort zone. So for us, that meant coming on worship team, which was scary, or praying out loud in a small group, which can be really scary when you think you're just going to say stupid things and it's not even going to get up to Jesus. But it does. It does, because God is faithful to continue to lead you. And so as you continue, for us, our story is about saying little tiny yeses. It's about every time the Lord asked us, he gave us a choice. Are you going to follow me in this and give this to me, this piece of you? Let me use it for my kingdom? Or are you going to keep it? Are you going to sing your song out? Or are you going to be quiet? So as we continued to say yes, little tiny yes after little tiny yes, the Lord stretched us and grew us. And then there was this crazy day where our senior pastor came to us and he's like, the youth pastor just stepped down, and we really think that you and Joe should be the next youth pastors of the church. And we've been experiencing this yes and enjoying serving alongside of people. And we knew that God had good plans for us, but we said no. Uh-huh. Like, not a chance. Like, that's a whole different animal over there. But it took about a month that time for the Lord to really just change our hearts, and he did some crazy cool miracles in that time just to show us, this is what I have for you. And when Jesus shows you, this is what I have for you, then you say yes. And as you say yes, he brings you joy, and he brings you into the next stages of what you need to be and who you need to become. Because for us, having those students look up to us, having the students rely on us and walking them through the struggles of that season of life, it forced us to our knees. It forced us to chase Jesus because we needed to be able to pull them along, right? Yeah. And if we're not in deep, then how can we expect them to be? So it forced us to grow up in Jesus.
Yeah, and it prepared us for the next season, which is Ecuador, which was not on the radar. So like Emily said, I was an IT professional. I worked for the city of Sandy for 12 years. I've been in IT for 20 years. Great job, great career, great retirement, great salary, all of those things. You know, it was a government job. Amazing future. Then we got involved in the church, and God kind of said, oh, I'm going to give you this new passion. And we started doing youth ministry, and we were bivocational. So I kept working. Emily kept her business going, homeschooled our kids. And we had this youth ministry for 7 years. And the more we got involved in youth ministry, and just ministry in the church in general, the less satisfying all that other stuff became.
Yeah.
And about 4 years into youth ministry, I got invited to go on a trip to Ecuador. And I remember Emily, when she dropped me off at the airport, said, well, maybe God will call us to missions in Ecuador. And she was joking. And I replied, Emily, there is zero chance that God will call us to the mission field in Ecuador. Because I thought, why would he move us? Everything's going so good right now. Like, we're seeing people come to Christ. We're discipling people, even at work. It was good. And then I got to Ecuador, and God just began to move on my heart. So there are, you know, lots of stories that we could tell about what the Lord did. Just a couple really quickly. The first thing that happened was every person that I encountered, I was just bawling. Like, the entire time I was crying because I was just so emotionally moved in this country. And I knew that God was trying to speak. So the second night that we were in the country, I went back to the hotel and I told my team, I'm going to go spend some time in prayer. And as I prayed, I just asked the Lord, are you trying to say something to me? And I felt him say Psalm 37. And I've got that on the screen here. I'm like, I don't know what Psalm 37 says. So I pulled it out and began to read. And when I got to verse 3, it says, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. And as I read those words, dwell in the land, they just jumped off the page. And I went, what? And the Lord was like, dwell in this land. So then I asked him really specifically, are you calling us to the mission field? And as clear as I've ever heard God speak to my heart, he just said, yes. And they're going to ask you to preach the one Sunday that you're in this nation. And I thought, no way. But the next day, they asked me to preach, and it just, I knew we were called. So then I called Emily and said, I don't know how to tell you this, but I think we're supposed to be missionaries to Ecuador. And to my shock and surprise, she just said, I know. When are we leaving?
That morning, the Lord had given me a scripture, and it was kind of the culmination of a couple of days of things. But Isaiah 30:21 says, your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whether you turn to the right hand or to the left. And that morning, I had read that scripture, and it, like Joe, it had jumped off the page, and I felt the Lord saying, you're turning. So I wrote it out in my journal, and I had to tease him. Like, I was just waiting for him to figure it out. But, you know, just that confirmation, God has direction. And if you listen, he'll speak it. But we are a little thick-headed, so he continued to speak to us, and we just thank him for that grace. Because the next day, he went from Quito, so he was up in the capital city, and then he flew down to Cuenca. And as he got into Cuenca, he began sending me text message after text message. And we have a picture, I think, of El Centro, which is the center of the city, a city park in the middle. And Cuenca is beautiful. It is really, really pretty, as Rosa knows. Like, it is so pretty, and it's old world, European, has lots of history. It's just beautiful. But there was something miraculous that happened in Joe's heart as he got there, because he started texting me, I've never felt this way about a city. I've never felt this way about people before. And I just love it. And he even told me, if you and the kids were here, I just wouldn't leave. And I was like, oh my goodness, what is going on, Lord? And he's saying, maybe this is the place. And so I just texted him back. I texted him these weird words, and I said, we just need to pray that God gives us clarity, that he gives us writing on the wall clarity, that we would know what he's leading us into. Remember, he promised me direction. We need to pray for writing on the wall clarity. So God used my weird. I'm going to show you in a minute. We're going to roll a video, because I want you to understand. You know, Joe's 20 years in IT, right? I got a business degree with a minor in Spanish, and once again, we have these things in our hands that the Lord has placed there, and he's just asking us to go use them in a different context. So if you guys would watch this video for a second, you'll see the ministry that God's called us to work with.
So pretty exciting. Like Emily said, the God's taken an IT nerd and a business nerd. I can call you a nerd too, right? And put us in a context where he'll use those skills that he gave us before we even knew him to minister to him. And if you understood from that video, Unción is a TV station that uses secular programming. So news, sports, weather, community engagement. We've got a cooking segment. I mean, anything that we can do to get people to tune in. And then we use that as a method of beaming hope right into their living rooms. And it's amazing what God is doing. Through the ministries of the TV station, just in the last year, in 2019, we saw 2,513 decisions for Christ. That we're able to plug them in. Yeah, it's amazing. So we're excited to get there, and it's going to be really good. But you got to finish your writing on the wall story.
Right. So I had texted him, we just need to pray that God gives us writing on the wall clarity. Now, if you remember, we're from Sandy, Oregon, right? Sandy, Oregon. Joe's been working for SandyNet, for the city of Sandy. We went to Sandy Assembly of God. Sandy's a pretty regular word to us, right? It's not necessarily a common name in Ecuador. It's not like a, you know, Cuencano word. It's really not. But right after the station, Joe walked down this hallway at a hat factory, and there's 30 feet of mural on both sides. I think right there. So we have this picture of the mural. And it's a long hallway. There's no words on the whole mural except one. Because he sends me this next picture, and he says, do you mean writing on the wall like this? What? So, yeah, that'll do. I think we'll get it. I think we got it. So we know where we're called. We know that God has called us to leave our beloved Sandy, that he's asked us to step out once again and just say yes. Just say yes to the things that he's called us to. We trust that he leads us and directs us. But really what this is it goes back to what we shared at the very beginning. He put a new song in our mouths. He put a song of praise to himself. And we say yes in singing that song, but ultimately what missions is about, what life is about, is singing that song that God has given you so that in the end that multitude is complete. Those people that are intended from every tongue, tribe, and nation, that are intended to bring glory to God because he is worthy. He is worthy of every single voice. And so we need to say yes. We need to hold up the things that are in our hands and say, I will give this because you made me to give this. We're a piece of that tapestry. We're a piece of his intentions. So we just want to encourage you Nothing disqualifies you from saying yes. God's grace covers it all. As you say yes, your song joins that chorus, joins that multitude to bring the glory that he is worthy of. And then the end will come because we get to be with Jesus forever. So we just want to encourage you. Thank you for letting us share. Thank you for letting us come and share our heart for Jesus and for Ecuador. And we just want to ask that you would, we have the last slide as our prayer card. We'd love to have you walk this journey with us and pray with us and stand with us as we all just try to say yes. So thank you, Pastor.
Awesome, awesome. These guys are good. What a way to segue the service. Seriously, amazing. If you heard, we're probably going to post both of them on. So if you missed first one, part one, part two, this is an amazing follow-up to the first message. Thank you for obeying the Spirit. You know, it's unique for a missionary to come in and do that, even though they do it on the field. But thank you for doing that, because that was for us today as well as for you. I love a series of small yeses. How many have had the series of small yeses in your life? You know, isn't that what God asks for us? He doesn't ask for us to take the big, huge, large step most of the time. It's usually the small yeses. Emily made a statement over at our South Campus. She said, the blessing of the yes. How many have experienced the blessing of saying yes? When you say yes, you see God's smile on you. You see God's blessing upon your life. I see God's smile. I see God's blessing as they're saying yes. And I believe that we are presented with an opportunity to say yes. Every day we have an opportunity to say yes. Is that not true? To say, be obedient to God. I read this passage of scripture every time we have a missionary, and I'm not going to miss it this time as well. I want to read out of Romans chapter 10. It says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Aren't you glad that you called on the name of the Lord? How many have experienced his salvation? It says, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one on who they have not heard? I think of Joe's testimony as he's driving down the hill off the pass. And if he would not have heard the name of Jesus, if Emily's dad would not have shared the message of Jesus Christ, where would he be today? Can I ask you a question? Where would you be today without the message of Jesus Christ? Do you remember the first moment that you heard the message of Jesus? Maybe you had the privilege of being raised in a Christian home. Maybe you did not. But the message of Jesus is a life-saving message. It's a message of redemption. And how can they believe on the one who they have not heard? How would Joe have had the opportunity to believe on Jesus if he would not have ever heard about Jesus? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? How can they preach unless they are sent? Our little yes today, our small obedience of yes, is a follow-up to their obedience of yes. They're going to the field. They're saying yes. They're going to get on a plane, and they're going to land in the country, and they're going to move all their stuff and their family, and they're going to be there. But can I tell you, our little yes is to help them get there?
Amen.
Is to invest in this. Missionaries have to raise a cash fund as well as a monthly fund. And so today we're going to, our ushers are going to come. If they want to come at this moment, we're going to take an offering to receive money for their cash fund. Everything that comes in today is going to go towards their cash fund. So I encourage you to dig in and to find a way to be able to give. I can tell you there's no greater joy than giving to missions. It's a lifetime. It's an eternal investment. When you hear them come back next time, you're going to go, I had a part in that. I had a part in that. I'm part of their ministry. This is an exciting journey because they're launching. This is their maiden voyage into Ecuador. And so we're part of that in launching them there. So we want to take an offering for them, as well as I want to challenge you. They need monthly finances. We as a church, I know monies have already come in as a pledge for the monthly amounts. We as a church give a base of $25, and then everybody above that comes and gives and says, well, we want to give too. So if you want to give today, we want you to put a name on an envelope to the monthly pledge, as well as giving to the offering. But if you want to do a monthly pledge, say monthly naps, however much that is. We would just challenge you to do so. There's do a small yes. Your small yes may be $5. Someone else's small yes may be $500. Okay, so it's not about amount that you're giving, it's about obedience to God. So Heavenly Father, would you bless our offerings this morning? God, we thank you for this opportunity. to be able to give to such an amazing couple. God, I thank you for Joe and Emily. Rosa, would you just reach over? Rhonda, would you reach over and lay your hands on them? God, we just thank you for Joe and Emily. We thank you for their children. God, we thank you for the call of God on their life. God, we thank you for their yes to you. God, that yes is not just impacting them, it's impacting our lives. It's impacting Ecuador. God, it's impacted Oregon. God, there has been a group of churches that have stepped out to go, no, we're going to back you in your yes. And God, we're going to say yes along with them. God bless them. God, I pray over their family. I pray over their children. God, they are all saying yes to you. And God, I pray that you would just protect them, provide for them. God, I pray for friendships. I pray for health. God, I pray for the right housing. God, I pray for the right open doors, the right opportunities. God, I pray for your favor. God, go before them, I pray. God, make their path straight in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you'd encourage them, God, when they feel discouraged. God, that you just surround them with a sense of peace and hope as they go into this country. And God, may the seeds that are planted be a hundredfold return in Jesus' name. Now, God, as we give, bless it, multiply it. God, use it for your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Here at Relevant Life Church, it's our mission to see people connect with God, relate to one another, and reach our world. This single statement drives everything we do as a church. Our hope is that today you were encouraged in this. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.